Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in the Sechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Hey, and we are holding, actually right at the top almost. The last thing that we spoke about was whether a goy is chayiv in Kiddush Hashem. We were talking about various things that you're mechuyev to be mosir nefesh for, and we ended up including in those things the dinim of arayas and avizrayu. So we said anything that's associated, any ancillary issues of arayas, but we didn't explain what that might include. And today, Omer Rav Yudah Merav, Ma'aseh b'adam echad shenatan einav b'isha achat, ve'ela libo tina. So it was this guy who had this incredible infatuation with this woman. Now, we're not sure at this point whether this woman was married to somebody else or whether she was an Isha Pnuya. The Gemara will discuss that. But he became infatuated with her to the point of literally getting ill. Became deeply depressed because he wasn't able to sleep with this woman. And because of that, he was in danger of his life. So, they asked doctors if there's anything to do for her. There's nothing to do. The only thing you do is sleep with this woman. If he doesn't sleep with this woman, he's finished. So, Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim Paskin, he should just let him die and don't let her sleep with him. Now, obviously, this raises questions. I mean, so couldn't they have gotten married? And was she a surah to him? So let's try to get the case a little bit clearer. But essentially, what we're saying over here is that there is some kind of case. Now, the opening doesn't sound strange. I mean, okay, maybe she was asura, and maybe that's why she couldn't sleep with him. So then it would just be an extension of the halachas that we've said until now. But the question is, why would we not say that ta'amod lefanav aruma? So they asked the doctors, maybe it would be enough to just let him sit there and stare at her naked for a couple of hours, you know, that'll help him. And this way, he'll at least have some type of prurient satisfaction. Nope, he should die rather than even have her do that. Now, that already starts extending the din into avizrayu instead of actual sexual relations. Okay, so they said, well, maybe it'll be enough if they just have a nice conversation. You know, she stands on one side of the fence, he stands on the other side of the fence, no danger there of getting involved in any way, just let him talk to him. No, the Chachamim said, better he should die, v'lot tseper b'miachorei agadir. All right, so now first of all, let's try to figure out what was the problem with this woman. I mean, what is he doing wrong? So there was a machlokas between Rav Yaakov Bar Idi and Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini. One of them said this woman was married to somebody else. Okay, I don't understand if she's an Eishes Ish, but Chadomer Pnuya Hayta, no, she wasn't even married to anyone. Okay, so I understand, according to Bar Yomer, that says she was an Eishes Ish, it makes sense, because we said before that Avizrayu de Gilui Arayas, which means anything that would be associated directly with Gilui Arayas, is also included. Why precisely it's included? Is this a D'oraisa? Is this a drabbanan? And that's a machlokas. If the question over here of lo tikrivu, the galot of the lashon of the pasuk is don't get close. So that may be that things that are sexually close are part of the iser D'oraisa. And some say no, it's a drabbanan. These din of harchokas. But that's not the point. You see, that's the whole meaning of the sugya here. The point is that avizrayu of arayas, it's not because of the level of the Isser. It's because of the getter of the Chiyuvim of Kiddush Hashem. Now, it's very important to establish this up front because there's a lot of misunderstanding, I mean, because there's many Rishonim who hold it, but according to the Rambam, there's a lot of misunderstanding of the Sugya. The point is not to establish the Isser. The point is to establish that this has to do with the Inyan of Kiddush Hashem. So how does it have to do with the Inyan of Kiddush Hashem? Okay, we've already established that the Torah views the issue of Gilui Arayas as being Nogia Kiddush Hashem because it already compares that halacha in terms of what you're b'chuyev to be Meiser Nefesh to Once I know that I'm mechuyev to Moser Nefesh and the V'chai Bem doesn't apply, so then that means that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makpid on the inyan of Arayas, then it becomes similar to all of the things that we included in, look, if you're going to actually cause a chilul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, then you have to be willing to sacrifice your life in order to avoid that. That's Kein HaDavar HaZeh. So if that's the case, the mitzvah would be a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, or the Yisr of Chilul Hashem. But in the event that she's only a pnuya, she wasn't married to anybody else. So what is all this big deal? My kuli, I understand. Why are we making so many chumras on a woman that isn't even a surah? So Rav Papa says, well, we cannot allow him to be pogame her family. You see, if she wants to talk to him, and she says, look, you know, I'm willing to talk to him to save his life, it doesn't matter about her, me. That'd be one thing. But for a family to accept the fact that their family is being used to cure somebody's mad infatuation is a demeaning thing, and therefore we view it as there being a victim. In that case, we know that that victimhood includes elements that are sexual victims, and over here there would be a kamishpacha, so she might be able to be mochelet on that. We saw a woman can say, I'd rather you not bother him because he may kill me. But in this case, you're definitely causing a pogrom to the mishpacha. Rav Acha bar Ravika amar kedei shelo yu benot Yisrael prutzot ba'arayot. Because if we open up the door to this issue, so then it will be, so again, a simple way of learning this is that it's a takana derabbanan, and in order that there should be a sense of chashivas to benos Yisrael, then we have to not allow them to do this kind of thing in which, well, okay, you know, it's not so terrible. I mean, you're just going to be talking to each other. And so the whole point of that talking is clearly sexual because that's what he needs. So it's got to be that it's satisfying some prurient interest in him. And therefore, we're not going to let benos Yisrael be used to satisfy someone's prurient interest. Another question is that a takana bi'alma, in order to just be shamer on the covet of Benos Yisrael, or is that in fact a din of Kiddush Hashem, which is where the Rambam brings the halacha? So in other words, something which lessens the darga of Benos Yisrael is a Chilul Hashem. And therefore, since this would be a Chilul Hashem through Arayas, it's included in Av Yisrael Arayas. It's a whole different way of looking at it. It's not a protection of Benos Yisrael. It's literally part of the dinim of Chilul Hashem. Now, the question, of course, is, if she was not married to somebody else, why can't he marry her? So, okay, so fine. So don't let them talk behind the fence. Let them just go and get married, and then he can fully satisfy his sexual needs with her. Of course he can't. Domesticated relations are no fun, and therefore he's not going to satisfy anything. This guy needs to have fun. And therefore, if he's infatuated, then something that requires a real relationship doesn't satisfy him. This is a crazy idea. But the point, I mean, it's incredible. We've had this concept before, Lekabe Avodim, and, you know, the issue of whether it's more important to the Eved to be able to be have a woman available at all time, or it's more important to be naughty. And that was a machlokas, whether it's considered to be a schus or lo or not. It's incredible. So here too, lo miyasve daita, and here remarkably, it becomes associated with the Beis HaMikdash. To Rabbi Yitzchak. Yom Rabbi Yitzchak, miyom shecharav Beit HaMikdash, nitla ta'am bi'a, v'nitna la'ovrei avira. From the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there's no longer any enjoyment in domesticated sex. Because the idea, I mean, this is the way I understand it. Obviously, you know, people, they give their, you can have simple explanations. And Rashi also gives a simple explanation. There's so many tzores since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And therefore, people are involved in the type of lives that are filled with worries and pogroms and Nazis and so on. So they, as Rashi says, they can't really get it up. I mean, he literally uses that language. So there's a lo kama ruach b'ish, which is the proof that we had with the story. It's taken from the story of Rachav, of lo kama. But I think that the deeper meaning is, as we've seen many times, the Beis HaMikdash was a place where one of the central issues of the Beis HaMikdash was the celebration of sex. This we saw because of the fact that all of the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash had sexual images on them, which the goyim considered to be pornographic. And we saw the whole Indian of the Kruvim were viewed as pornographic. And clearly the way the Torah defines them, they were actually engaged in postures that would have, seemed to the goyim like playboy postures, you know? And so the idea over there is, and that's not just because of those images. The Beis HaMikdash, remember, is introduced in the Torah as the introduction to sex with Yaakov Avinu. So the idea over there is we actually learn out dinim of how to have sexual relations from the way that Yaakov Avinu was there, and Kibbo HaShemesh, and the big day of Kuhn and Gedela, and the bells on the Beged, we learn out, to make sure that there's no one else around, and things like that. So it's not just one small issue. Since the Beis HaMikdash is the mekor of the closest thing that we have to a space that is a Gan Eden space, the concept of the place in which a human being is capable of contact with external reality comes through the Beis HaMikdash in the same way that it comes through in Gan Eden. The only mechanism that we have for connection to the world outside of ourselves are all of the psychosexual developments that we have. Otherwise, we would be completely and totally locked up in our own solipsistic universe. But since evolutionary-wise, we cannot be locked up because of this whole idea of lo tov hayot adam levado, then this becomes the marker both of language and sex, which are the same thing in Gan Eden. And so, from that point, if you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, then you don't have any normal and natural connection with the external universe. So all that you're left with is the way you were left in Gan Eden with the Nachash. You're left with the Nachash. So Adam HaRishon no longer wanted to have sexual relations because it says it for Chassid Gadol, who's interested in lustful relations? You could have the same relationship with the same person, but the moment that you feel that there's lust involved, you don't want that relationship. You want the relationship because there's love involved. So once the Beis HaMikdash went away, so then all that was left was lust. So therefore, yes, the Yetzer Hara can certainly turn people on, but it turns people on in a totally different way. It's almost opposites. And therefore, this guy understands he's not going to be satisfied because he's only in infatuated relationships. Credible Gemara. And therefore, you won't be able to save his life by having him marry her. So what would be the point? It would have to be a prurient relationship, and therefore, we don't allow it. Adron Allah ben sorer umoreh.
Bli neder. Funk ten heilige perek.
Wow. So we finished our perek of our two parakim really that we had about the Niskalim, and we had this entire parak at the end that also dealt with the question of Niskalim in the context of the Ben Tzor Umorer and in the context of Kiddush Hashem and so on. Now we go back to the general order, which started, of course, with the Mishnah in Perak Arba Mitot Nimsu L'Beitin. So we had Skila. We've done Skila. So the rest of that parak was dedicated to the Skila. Ben Tzor Umor was dedicated. And, of course, all of the dinim of Skila and how you did Skila, all of those things we did. So now we're getting back to the original structure of the Mishnah. So we had the Elohein HaNiskalim. Now that we finished that, which took us to all of these other sugyas which are related, we get back to that Mishnah, and the next is the Nisrafim. So we're at the point, the Elohein HaNisrafim. Now this structure of Elo, Elo, Elo continues on into the next Masechet, which is Masechet Makot, because we go on over there to Elohein Halokin, or Elohein HaGolin. So essentially, we're going to be going through all of the various things that are the Anshei Besta. So the next in line are the Nisrafim. Now, gentlemen, I need to present to you. It'd be nice if you had a Chumash and could see it inside. That will burn it into your awareness. But if not, let me just tell you over. If you have a Chumash Vayikra, that would be the easiest. And then we could look at the Psukim both in Achrimot and the Psukim in Kedoshim, because this is quite an intricate literary analysis of these Psukim. And it's also the Yud Gimel Midah Shatara Nidrashas Behem analysis of these psukim. So each word is going to make a difference. And because of that, it would be best to look on inside. But let's start with Achrei Mot. So in Achrei Mot, we have two psukim that are nogea, a relationship of daughter-parent. And this is, the first pasuk is, Ervat bat bincha, o bat bitcha lo tegaler vatan, ki ervatcha hina.
Rabbi, chapter and verse, please.
Yud chet yud is our first pasuk. Vayikra yud chet yud in Achrei Mot. So note the number of strange things about this pasuk. It doesn't say not to sleep with your daughter. It only says not to sleep with your granddaughter. That's weird. What happened to you could sleep with your daughter? It's just not allowed to sleep with your granddaughter? And what is the meaning of the last part of the pasuk that says, Lo tegale ervatan ki ervatcha hina? What does that mean, the ervatcha hina? That's like a very specific terminology. It's not like hain or anything like that. So it's telling us something that we're going to find turns out to be a key word elsewhere. Keep that in mind. Now let's move on to Pasuk Yud Zayin in the same parak, also in Achrei Mot. Yud Chet Yud Zayin. Ervat Isha Uvita. Now here it talks about a daughter. To take a woman and her daughter. Lo Tigale, you cannot take a woman and her daughter. Nor Bat Bina or Bat Bita Lo Tikach Legalot Ervata. So here we have a daughter and a granddaughter, either through the daughter's daughter, or through a son's daughter. You're not allowed to marry them either. Sha'ara hina. Oh my God, what is that supposed to mean? These are relatives. Now note that same funny word, hina. The other place that we find the same weird word in the same parak about something that seems very related, Isha Ubita Bat Bina Bat Bita, sounds very much like that first pasuk. Ervat Bat Pincha O Bat Bitecha. Now, the obvious difference is that the pasuk that we first looked at, Pasuk Yud, talks nothing about a woman and her daughter. So it's not talking about a woman and her daughter. It's talking about your daughter, which means that the woman who had your daughter was not your woman. That's the point. So you raped a woman, and you had these kids. You were never married to that woman. But there's still a surot on you if they are your granddaughter through the daughter or your granddaughter through your son. And we don't know yet why they would be usher if they're just your daughter. Okay, but we've discussed that before. We can't use the Kal v'chomer, well, if your granddaughter is asura, so certainly your daughter is asura, because, as you know, we are stuck with the problem of ein onchin min hadin and ein mazirin min hadin, which would mean we need to find a marker for your daughter. You can't say, well, it makes sense to me. I mean, it's obvious. No, it's not obvious. Again, because of ein mazirin min hadin. Okay, so we saw that before. We'll remind you of it as we go along. But anyway, turns out that we have two separate parshios over here. One is talking about marrying a daughter, marrying a woman, and then sleeping with her daughter. Now, there it doesn't matter whether it's also your daughter. It only matters that you were married to this woman. It's an Isha. It's your wife that you took. And if you took, lo tikach legalot ervata, there is nothing wrong with your sleeping with a woman and her daughter and her granddaughter, and you all have a grand time together. But you're not married. There's no problem with that. But there is a problem if you are married to a woman to be sleeping with her daughter or her granddaughter. So that means we have two separate things. One has to do with being married to a woman. One has to do with having genetic offsprings. These people that you're sleeping with over here, when you have a woman and her daughter, they're not related to you in any way. They're only related, if you married her, through marriage, and it's the marriage that asked her. Two totally different things, which share that strange word, hina. That's going to turn out to be very important, that hina. Now, in that second pasuk, you'll notice that there's also another strange word, sha'ara hena zimahi. Now, zima is not a very clear word. The targum of zima is atzat chata'in. It's the type of thing that a nasty person thinks of doing. I don't know. It doesn't have like some, it's like, you know, it's not nice. It's sexually not nice. It's like promiscuous kind of sense, zimai. So here we suddenly introduce a word that does show up, but not again in Achrimot. It shows up in Kedoshim. So now if you take a look at the Pasuk in Kedoshim, which is in Perek Chof, Pasuk Yudalid, there we find, of course, as you'll recall, Kedoshim is the list of the Onashim, whereas Achrimot is the list of the Azharot, right? Okay, so in Achrimot, it said, don't take her, and it used the word Zima. And the same case in Kedoshim, what we find in Perek Chof, is the Ish Asher Yikach, et Isha et Ima Zimahi. Oh, this is weird. This is sort of backwards, because what it says over here is, if you take a woman and her mother, and it uses that same word, Zimahi Be'esh Yisrefu. Now, that pasuk is the opposite direction. Before we were talking about taking a woman and her daughter, which means that it would be in that order. You're married to the woman, and then you sleep with her daughter or her granddaughter. And that is asur, because the granddaughter was asura to you through marriage. This is the opposite. You take the daughter. Now, you married the daughter. Can you sleep with her mother? It's the same thing in reverse, right? Well, this pasuk is discussing that. And it says, if you take a woman, so that means you marry the woman first, and then you marry ima. And it says that same strange word twice. Zimahi be'esh yisrefu oto ve'ethen ve'lo tiyeh zima betochachem. Don't want any of this prurience and pritzas amidst Klal Yisrael. And it says that word zima, and it connects it to be'esh yisrefu. So that means we now know that zima is associated with esh. Okay. So these are the main psukim that we're going to be doresh. And now let's take a look at the pasuk here, at the Mishnah here, and see how we use these psukim. So elu heina nisrafim. Haba al isha ubita. So someone sleeps with a woman and her daughter. A woman and her daughter. I mean, it's not a woman. It would have to be a woman that he married and her daughter, no? I thought we said, there's nothing wrong with sleeping with a woman and her daughter. I don't know. We'll have to see what this means in the Gemara. It's certainly a shocking up front. And the only other case that we have in which there's a chiyav of Sreifa is the Bat Kohen Shezinta. So we said over there, Davia Yimichalelet and Ba'eshti Sareif. Now, what's important to note, however, is that actually, it looks to you as if there's only two cases, but the case of Isha and Bita includes many other cases. Like, well, Yesh Bechlal, Isha Ubita, included in that particular case, would also be his own daughter, Bito, Bat Beno. So that's three other cases. Your own daughter, your own granddaughter through a daughter, and your granddaughter through a son. It would also include bat ishto, ubat bita, ubat bina. So then that would be another three. And that would be your wife's daughter, even if it's not related to you, your wife's granddaughter through a son, and your wife's granddaughter through a daughter. And included in this same overall category of Sreifa would also be Chamoto, Ve'im Chamoto, Ve'im Chamiv, would be the opposite direction. To have a woman that you're married to, and then to take her mother or her mother's mother through the mother or his father-in-law's, meaning her father's mother, which is the same thing in the other direction. So those are generations going up. So then that means that there are nine separate cases that are included over here of the mother-child reunion. So this puts you together in three ways up generation, three ways down generation genetically, and three ways down generations through marriage, right? Your daughter, your granddaughter, is another two. Your wife's daughter, your wife's granddaughter, which is another two. So that's three and three. And then your wife's mother and your wife's grandmother and your wife's paternal grandmother, another three. So we're talking about, over here, a total of nine different women that we're saying are all included in this model in the Torah, which we're calling in the Mishnah, I'm sorry to be belaboring this, but the whole Gemara opens up once this is clear. The point over here is that the Mishnah is saying there's one primal case, which is the model, and everything else comes out of that primal case. So then we need to figure out, okay, so what's the primal case? You're saying all these other things are included in the primal case, but I'm not familiar with any primal case that ushers you from sleeping with a woman and her daughter. So, like, we make up a case and we say, okay, that's the case in the Torah, and now there's another total of nine cases. What are you talking about, says the Gemara? I mean, I would have expected that if you're looking for the fundamental case, it would be you marry a woman, so that's her daughter, and then you sleep with her, right? That would be your mother-in-law. It doesn't say that, though. It doesn't say someone who sleeps with a woman whose daughter he had married. No, it doesn't say that. It says if you take a woman and her daughter, now that would mean that there's two women here that you're not allowed to marry, a woman and her daughter. How could there be a woman and her daughter in which both of them are usher? There's no such case. So where is there such a case? I'll tell you, there is one such case. But I'll be darned if I can figure out where it states that case in the Torah. That case would be, you're married to a woman, and now you sleep with her mother-in-law and your mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law's, I keep saying that, your mother-in-law's mother, her mother's mother, her grandmother. So there would be two women that are usher. The two women would be a woman that you married mother, and the woman that you're married grandmother, and both of them would be asurot. So that would be the case of chamoto, the aim chamoto. Okay, so then that's your mother-in-law and the mother of your mother-in-law. That would make sense, except for the unfortunate fact that there's no such case that we know of in the Torah Beferish, so we'd have to take a look at that. And then it says, after saying that, it says, Yesh Bechlal, Isha Ubita, included in them, meaning that those two are actually Beferish. Those are our models, right? Included in the models. So, Mechlal de Tarvayo Ktiva Behedya. These must be the models, and everything else is included in them. So, everything else is coming out of some type of drosha from the given models. Okay? Okay, tell me where it says this. Now, the truth is, it does say it, if we learn like Abaye. Now, later on, tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, always hope there'll be a tomorrow. Sa'anichala Abaye. So according to Abaye, who says that with the machlokas that we're going to have tomorrow between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, it's irrelevant to us now to get confused about what this machlokas is. The bottom line, it was that according to Abaye, he actually comes out that according to Rabbi Akiva, the Torah has a pasuk that says to the iser of, if you take a look carefully at that pasuk, we had an achre in Kedoshim to you. It has very funny words that now we need to look at, which is be'esh yisrafu oto ve'et hen. Et hen? What do you mean them? Who's the them? Who ever heard of him and them? How many people are there involved in this little threesome over here? Who are the threesome? So according to Abaye, Rabbi Akiva learns that that otova etem means that there are two women that are included in the people that he must not sleep with when he's married to a woman, and they are the mother of that woman and the grandmother of that woman, either paternal or maternal. So then that would be that the otova etem would actually include precisely what our Mishnah says, Alibin Rabbi Akiva. So at least according to Abaya, that makes sense. Because Rabbi Akiva does say that we have a model like that. Problem is that Rava disagrees over there, and he says that the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael is not that it's coming to say that there are two women that are Asurot. It's the two women, there are two women that are Asurot. But you know who they are? They're the same woman. Because we need a pasuk to tell me that there's one thing to be married to a woman and to sleep with her mother. But there's another thing to have been married to a woman and to sleep with her mother. Now, those are two different things, aren't they? Because, I mean, when it comes, let's say, to her sister, not allowed to marry a woman and her sister. But after that woman dies, you would be allowed to marry the sister. Now, you would think the same thing would be true of the mother. You're not allowed to marry a woman and her mother. But if that woman has died, then the relationship to the mother is now canceled. But that's not true. That's why I need that extra pasuk. That's according to the way Rava understands the machlokes. But that means that according to Rava, we do not have any pasuk in the Torah that directly addresses a model of two women that you would be usher on together. It never mentions a woman's mother and her grandmother. Doesn't appear. So then how could the Mishnah take it as a model if it isn't even there in the Torah? Must need some money. Amalekha Rava says, Rava, you're absolutely right. The way I understand the Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, there is no such case, and therefore the Mishnah has got to be misreading the way we have the Mishnah. And the only way that the Mishnah could be properly constructed is if it said, Tnei, read into the Mishnah, not Haba al Isha Bita, but Haba al Isha Shenasa Bita. So that means that you have taken a woman whose daughter you had previously married. Now that would be the case of the mother-in-law, Chamoto. That makes sense. Now, let's continue on. So we have two possibilities how to read that Mishnah.
Rabbi, please drink.
Yeah, as if it's going to help. Yesh bichlal isha uvita. So then we say, that goes on to include his mother-in-law, his mother-in-law's mother, his mother-in-law, his father-in-law's mother, and so on and so forth. Okay, now, something's wrong with that. Don't you see? It doesn't matter who you hold by. I don't care if you hold like a Abaye. I don't care if you hold like Rava. You listed in the cases that are included in the above, you included the above. That's crazy. You can't say, and included in the above are these nine cases, including what was originally written. That doesn't make any sense. So there it doesn't matter. One of the nine cases that is mentioned, or two of the nine cases, depending whether you hold like Rava or whether you hold like Abaye, is being repeated. You said the case is a mother-in-law, and included in the case of the mother-in-law is the mother-in-law and the mother-in-law's... What do you mean? You just said the mother-in-law. And according to Abaye, you would have two things. As Abaye said, the mother-in-law and the mother-in-law's mother. And now you're saying, included in the mother-in-law and the mother-in-law's mother, which is Isha Ubita, is a mother-in-law and a mother-in-law's mother. Well, I should hope so. So I don't understand how you're reading the Mishnah. So obviously, you're going to have to say, no matter what you understand the meaning of the opening two words are, you're going to have to understand that what the Mishnah is interested in doing is providing you a full list, and the chiddush of that list in terms of the generations going backwards is your wife's father's mother, which that it didn't say. That was in the first cases mentioned in the Mishnah. It said a woman and her daughter, which would only be your mother-in-law's mother and your mother-in-law. So therefore, in order to give a full description of all of the cases, we already went through all nine cases. So that would mean that according to Rava, we're repeating ourselves once. According to Abaye, we're repeating ourselves twice. Okay, but that's not so bad if we're interested in giving us a final readout, right? So that's how to understand that. So when we say, Yesh bichlal isha u'bita, chamoto ve'im chamoto ve'im chamiv, then that would mean, according to Abaye, we're going to be listing two things for no reason other than we need to list the third. Namely, the one case we didn't have was your father-in-law's mother. So because of that, we repeated your mother-in-law and your mother-in-law's mother because they're all part of the same set. According to Rava, we only have one extra case that we're repeating, and that is since we need to mention two cases that were not previously mentioned, according to Rava, both of those cases were missing. The grandmother was missing, according to Rava, whether it's paternal or maternal, tani nami chamoto. So therefore, because the set would include all three, so it mentions already the additional one that's repetitive, according to Rava, only one, your mother-in-law. Okay, I hope that this is clear. The Mishnah is taking for granted that your mind has already been trained to note the way that sets work and the way that Mishnah categorizes things. And once you're used to thinking in that mathematical fashion, it's very simple to see what's going on around here. So we're looking for a model around which we can build a broader set, and then we're looking to separate that model into the particular sets. Now, those particular sets, obviously, there are really three ways of parsing them, and the Gemara is about to engage in this. So one way of parsing them is by, are we going up or down in terms of the generations? The cases of mother-in-law, father-in-law, grandmother-in-law, those are going up. The other cases are going down. The other way to parse them, are we talking about genetic relationships, or are we talking about relationships that come about through marrying a woman? That's the difference between your own daughter and granddaughter and the woman that you married, daughter and granddaughter, as opposed to a case of a genetic relationship between the two partners that you're taking, neither of whom you're married to. That is not prohibited, right? So now we understand that we've got three different sets in this broader set of the chiyuvim of Sreifa that are nogeya, these relationships between a woman and a child of that woman. And we have to add to those nine cases one additional case, which is the Bat Kohen who is Nisrafa. I mean, we have a total of 10 cases of Sreif. So now you're telling me that we're including in the case of the Chamoto nine different arayas. How do you get that, Bichlam? You know, Anymili. Take a look. Turn around on it. Isha sheyikach et isha ve et ima. Now, that's the pasuk that we have in the parsha of Kedoshim, right? And that's where it said, zimahi and oto ve ethen. Now, in that pasuk, it says only isha ve et ima. Now, you're trying to tell me that it actually means more than the mother-in-law. Well, how do you know? Imi ela isha v'ima. The only thing it says in that pasuk is a woman and her mother, and that there we have a chiyuv of sreifa. Now, you're telling me that you're also chayuv sreifa on the daughter of a woman that you're married to, or a granddaughter, either from a son or a daughter. But it doesn't say anything about burning. It doesn't say Beishi Srofu. So how do you know it? That's because of that strange word, Zima. So note that we just brought the pasuk of your mother-in-law, Isha Vetima, Zimahi. In that pasuk Zimahi, it says openly, Beishi Srofu. So this clearly, Zima is connected to Eish. And it says that same word zima in conjunction with the iser, not with the punishment, but with the iser that we had back in Achrimot. So we said over there, ervati sha ubita lotikale et bat pita vet bat pen alotika, sorry, bat pena vet bat pita lotikach legalot ervata sha'ara hena zimahi. So if that zima is a actual relationship to the other zima, so it's gzera shava between zima, so then that would mean malahalan. We know that the meaning of zima would now be very meaningful in two directions. Because, look, first of all, just like over there in Achremot, it uses the word zima, and it includes not only the woman's daughter, it says openly, or her granddaughter through her daughter, Bat Pita, or her granddaughter through her son. So then that would mean that in Kedoshim, where it does not say all of that, nonetheless, it's meant to include it. So when it says Isha Sheikach, there too, the Isha Ve'et Ima, where it talks about the Din of Sreifa, it means to include also a daughter, a daughter's daughter, and a son's daughter. So that means that we should actually learn out the Din of Sreifa, and in both of those cases. Now, how do we know? Now, how comes, at this point comes words that we don't understand. So first we're going to read them, and then the Gemara is going to try to figure out what they mean. Okay, so now you're telling me the Sreifa that appeared over there in Kedoshim Tiyu, in conjunction with your mother-in-law, applies also to your wife's daughter. How do we know that this is true, even for males? Now, what in the world does that mean? We don't know, but let's let it sit for a moment. What makes you say that there would be a chiyuv of sreifa for males just as there are for females? Well, the word zima appears in both locations, both for males and for females. So just like zecharim and nekevos are included in one case, zecharim and nekevos are included in the other case. None of this makes any sense. Just let it sit for a moment till we get there. Plus, there's another issue that we need to talk about, and that how do we know that what's down is the same as what's up? Well, from the same way. Well, we have no idea what that means either. I mean, we have our suspicions, you know, because we've already seen the differences between your own genetics and your wife's genetics, and we've already seen the difference between generations going upwards, your wife's mother, grandmother, through paternal or maternal grandmother. Maybe that's what it means. I don't know. But whatever, it certainly, we've got a sense of where we're going over here, but we'll have to focus in on what it means. But the same thing is true. Zima, zima. Teaches us the same thing. It says zima in both cases. Again, we don't know what cases are, so we can't really talk about which zima it says. And just like there, it means that whatever goes down is like what goes up. So to here, whatever goes down is what goes, same as what goes up. And just like here, what is up is the same as what's down. So to there, what's up is the same as what's down. Now, can you tell me what any of this means, please? Amar, can you explain yourself? What does that mean? That the males are the same as females? I mean, what does that mean? As I said, the thing I suspect is that what you mean is that a bat bina would be the same as a bat bita. So how do we know that a male son who fathers a daughter creates the same erva that a female's daughter is? That's what it sounds like, which would mean that a woman and her granddaughter through her daughter and a woman and her granddaughter through her son would be equivalents. That's what it sounds like. So, but it can't mean that, because both of those cases appear in the pasuk openly. So why do, it would be ridiculous to ask, how do I know? What do you mean, how do you know? It says bat bina, bat bita. It says both. So there's no need for asking, how do I know? So it can't mean that. Which sounded like what you were asking. I know it doesn't mean that, because that's and it's openly in that pasuk. Okay. And we know that both of those are chayev sreifa. We already said, I know that because of zima zima. And they're beferish in the pasuk in which it says zima. That's not the case. All right. So then when you ask, how do we know males are like females? So maybe what you're asking is that, how do we know that your father-in-law's mother is just as usher to you as your mother-in-law's mother? You can't mean that. Why not? Because you don't even know that there's an iser of your mother-in-law's mother, for God's sake. Why do you ask about your father-in-law? I mean, come off it. This is a ridiculous way to structure a braita. In the pasuk, all it says, the mother-in-law, that's all that it says. Isha ve'et ima, doesn't say anything else. Now you're telling me, and how do I know if a male is in the middle? First tell me, how do you know if a female's in the middle? Doesn't say anything about her mother. So why are you asking about his mother? to introduce the father-in-law if all that we had was the mother-in-law? Don't you see that you can't create a braita that has everything backwards? So it doesn't mean that either, darn it. So hashta em chamotok lo kamala. We haven't yet even established the din that your mother-in-law's mother is also. So now we're going to start asking, how do you know that the males are the same? Same as what? We haven't established the females. What are you asking if the males are the same? It's crazy. So what in the world is this Bryce is saying? Amra Baya, it is saying something totally different. The male means you. That's what it means. Here it's talking about females, that is to say, you take a woman and her children or her grandchildren are usher, right? But how do we know that if it's your own children, so we're referring to you as the male. So, okay, where do we know that your children, where it does say, Ervat bat pincha o bat pitcha lo tekale ervatan, it doesn't say anything about your daughter. Okay, that's first of all. And furthermore, it doesn't say what the chiyuv is, and we're listing it here as definitely being three out of the nine cases of sreifa that have to do with children. Three out of the ten, if we include the bat kohen, right? Richie, you're allowing yourself to get confused.
Excuse me, Rabbi, for saying, but you just don't understand. You have to understand that in those days they were woke. They were talking about transgender.
Oh, that's
and
what
Zichron
gave out, man. Okay, but the Gemara never knew about that, so they don't understand the Braita.
I guess they fell behind.
All right, I'm glad you're not confused, because you look confused.
I see it very simply, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. So the question is, it doesn't say about any of those cases that there's a chiyuv sreifa, right? The Rebbe is also looking down, and we talked about being smiling and happy at all times in order for anything to make any sense. Let me see that beautiful Moshe David smile. Okay. So that's what it means. Where do we know that any of those people are chayav sreifa? You're including them in the list of sreifa. The problem is that the answer that the Braita gives is ridiculous. It says, well, we know that because it says zima by your children, and it says zima by the other case where we have the what? Where does it say zima in the other case? What is the other case? What are the two cases? It never said anything about the word zima when it came to you. It says over there, Ervat bat pincha. Remember, that was the first pasuk that we looked into, pasuk number 10 in Achrei Mot. What did it say? Ervat bat pincha o bat pitecha lo tegale ervatan ki ervat chahena. Do you see any word zima in that pasuk? No. So how in the world is the Braita saying, and the answer of how I know that your chayav sreifa is because it says zima there, and it says zima be'esh yisrafu in the case of isha and ima. Yeah, that sounds like a great answer. Type of answer you'll get from an AI that makes up the psukim as it goes along. Exactly. But there is no such pasuk, and the Braita is not supposed to be an AI. So how in the world is it giving us a made-up pasuk? So now I understand the Braita. No matter what you say, none of it makes sense. Either the derivation doesn't make any sense, or the putative case doesn't make any sense. So please explain the Braita. Omar Rava, it's a complicated concept, but I'll explain it to you. And this concept of Rava we've had many times before in a lot of different contexts. And that is that, as Rava said, one of the most important things I ever learned was from Rav Yitzchok Bar Avudimi. And he explained to me that you have here an application of a double gezeira shava. Now, what a double gezeira shava would mean is that you first establish that a word that is used in one context is as if it appears in another context, even though it doesn't, because of a secondary gezeira shava that compares the two contexts. Then you proceed as if the word is actually written in that other context. So now, remember, in the pasuk, the first pasuk that we brought, we noted a funny word that doesn't belong there, which is ki ervatecha hena. You know what is this hena jazz, right? And we noted that it also said that word hena in back in Achrei Motz's later pasuk, which was the case of isha ubita bat bina bat bita sha'ara hena zimahi. Oh my gosh! So that puts together hena and zima. Oh, so that means that the hena transfers the zima to the other place where it says hena. You see? So since it does say hena by ervas bas bincho bas bitcha, even though it doesn't say zima, but the hena brought the zima from the case of isha ubat bina and so on into this case as if it does say zima. Therefore, putting together the hena, hena, zima, zima, we now have the understanding of the Braita. When the Braita says, well, it says Zima here and it says Zima there, what it really means is it's as if it says Zima here because Hena transferred the Zima to the case of the Ervas Bas Bincho Bas Bincha. Brilliant. So therefore, the whole Braita now suddenly makes sense. How do we know that your genetic, not your wife's, but your genetic, not through a wife, you never took a wife, so you just had this child, grandchild, through son, none of whom were, they were all bastards in an English sense. We don't have a concept like that in English, in the Hebrew, but they were all bastards. So you were not married to any of these women that you fathered these children or grandchildren with, but that is what we meant before. So how do we know that in cases of bastard children or grandchildren, that there would be a chiyuv of sreifa? That's hena, hena, zima, zima. Lovely. Okay. Now the next part of the Braita. Again, I had a sneaking suspicion that I understood those words, but I can't really zero in on it. You said, and how do we know lasot lamata kilamala? I don't know, what the heck does that mean? I understand my suspicions. It means the generations before, like the generations after, but that's not going to work too well. So you say, my lamata kilamala. I mean, again, I assumed that what that meant is that you are going to take the generations. Note that you're saying lamata kilamala. So what you're trying to say is bat bina and bat bita is the same as bita. That's the simple meaning. How do I know that her granddaughter is the same as her daughter? Well, that's ridiculous. It says that beferish, and it's the same initial gezeirah shava of zima zima. So I'm sorry, that's insane. The bride would not have to say, how do I know the granddaughters? Same pasuk that said zima by the isha ubita says zima by isha ubat bina ubat bita. So scotch that, and that's not it. All right, so what does it mean then? So then maybe it means, this is what I suspected, maybe it means, how do we know that the opposite case in the generations that are going up would be the same as the generations that are going down? Because in the case of the generations going up, it only says a woman and her mother. But in the case of the generations going down, it says a woman and her daughter, which of course is the mirror image of the woman and her mother. So there it says a woman and her daughter, and that daughter's daughter, and a son's daughter. Then that would mean flip that and say the same thing is true going up. A woman and her mother, a woman and her father's mother, a woman and her mother's mother. That would be the mirror image of the Isha Ubita or Isha Bat Bina or Isha Bat Bita, right? Great. Okay. That is what it might mean. But there's a big problem. If that's what it means, then the language doesn't make sense. Because you said, how do I know to make going down like going up? But that's not what you're doing. You're making going up like going down. So the language does not support this explanation of the Braita. Okay. So then I don't know what else it could mean. So, I lamata kilamala. I mean, why do you call it making the downward like the upward if it's making the upward like the downward? So, I don't understand. Well, you know, maybe read that as to make the up like the down. No, you can't read it as if, because the solution then doesn't make sense. Because what was the solution? Solution is, well, it says Zima here, and it says Zima there. And what do you mean it says Zima there? There is no pasuk that even talks about the initial case at all. A case doesn't appear. There's no case of a grandmother-in-law, whether it's a paternal grandmother-in-law, a maternal grandmother-in-law. So how can you apply Zima to a case that doesn't exist? The whole point of Zima is that since the pasuk listed these Isurim in a pasuk that says Zima, but there is no case, so how could there be a Zima? Rabbi, well, no, that's not a problem. You're misunderstanding above and below. It's that what it's saying is like this. Minayin la'asot shlosha dorot lemala, ki shlosha dorot lemata. So we're saying, let's focus on your wife, right? All right, so if your wife is your generation, so then when we're talking about three generations, we're talking about your wife, that's first generation, and we're talking about her grandmother, that grandmother would be third generation, so that's three generations up, and her daughters, that's her, the second generation, and her granddaughters would be three generations down. So then what we would be asking would be, says Abaya, how do we know that the chiyuv, the onesh of Sreifa, for being a Baal, the third generation above, would be the same as for sleeping with the third generation below? So then the answer would be, just like it says the word Zima, two relations in the third generation down, which it does say, it says Baspina, Batpita, is Zimahi. So the same way it says to the third generation down, it uses that word. So Nema Lemata Zima, Venema Lemala Zima, and it does mention one generation up, it uses the word Zima. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to compare the generations in the direction of the generations, not trying to compare the specific cases of maternal grandmother, paternal grandmother to the woman. So we're saying once we know that going up and going down are both Zimos, so then we make the following extension of what we learn out from that Gezeirah Shavah. Just like the Gezeirah Shavah is referring to a case of three generations down, namely Isha, Bita, Batbina, and Batbita. That's three generations down, and it says Beferis Zima. So the Zima that's used in the generations up, which is Isha Sheikachet Isha Ve'et Ima, it's true, it's only one generation, but that's what one of the things we learn from Zima, that in terms of the number of generations, Zima appears in both of these places, either a third generation down or a first generation up. So we compare the two. The first generation up is Zima together with Sreifa, and the three generation, the Zima going down is three generations. They're both learned from each other. So the din of Sreifa would apply to the three generations down, and the number of generations to which Zima applies is going to be applied to the number of generations up. So therefore, we combine the two, and we say the Zima of Sreifa appears to all of those generations going down, and the number of generations is the same three generations that you were going up. So Aflamala Shalash Dosh. And just like Benogea the Chiyav of Sreifa, the Torah compares the generations going down, albeit three, to the single generation going up, albeit one, and that one says Be'esh Yisrafu. So there you go. So then that would mean apply the same thing to the Azhara in Achrimot, and Af Bazara Nami, Asa Lamala Kilamata. So there you go. So Zima actually is perfect. And that would mean, so how do we know to make Lamata like Lamala? How do we know that? It's exactly the point. It says Zima here, it says Zima there, and that combines both issues, the number of generations and the chiyuv of the generation. So it's perfect. Ravashi says, I don't know what you guys are wrapping yourselves around in nuts over here. The whole problem that you had was the way that it was phrased, right? So you said it should have said Lamala Kilamata, if it meant that. but you don't understand the words l'mala k'lamata. You thought l'mala k'lamata means in the generation. It's not what it meant. L'mala k'lamata meant the distance from the primary iser. So assuming that the closer the genetic sharing is, the greater the iser is. So then would there not be a greater genetic sharing between the woman and her daughter and the woman and her granddaughter? Obviously. So if we're saying lamata, what we mean, lamata, lamala, is in the darga of the genetic sharing, which is the iser, the mukar of the iser. That's the point. So where do we know that further away, meaning not just your mother-in-law, but the grandmother-in-law, which is a step further away in terms of the Chumrata Isur, because it's an additional halving of the genetic connection, because it's one more generation mixed with other genes. So that's what it means. How do we know that it would be the same? So the language was perfectly reasonable, and it all made sense. So I understand it exactly the same way. I'm just coming to address the language. That's making more sense. Okay, so now we're saying that this is all of the cases of the Gzeira Shava. We said, how do we know we make the male similar to the female? And we said, what that means is, how do we know that you and your relatives, even though they're bastards, are all the same in terms of the chiyuv of Sreifa, are the same as hers? That's how we understood it. So I'm going to ask you a question. If we're saying that it's the same, so then why wouldn't we say, let's use the Gzeira Shava and say, the same way that the Torah assured her mother's mother to you, it also should assur your mother's mother to you. Because you're saying the genetic connection should be the same as the marital connection, which would mean that your grandmother would be asura to you. Which people think is the case, but it's not the case. Your grandmother is not a surah to you. Your grandmother is one of the shniot that the Rabbanan answered by extending the Isra of mother one generation. But this should be a diraisa, because you're telling me, well, we have this comparison of your genes to her genes. So, I mean, isn't it obvious if her genes include not only her mother but her grandmother, then your genes include not only your mother but your grandmother? So how come it says beferish not like that? It's only an Isser Shnias. Says Abaya, remember that old Pusik? The Pusik that we used before to be Medayak, the Pusik says, Ervat Avicha, Vervat Imecha Lo Tegale, and then it repeats strangely, you know, your mother is your mother. I sort of figured that, Gertrude. So what do you mean, Imcha Hi? Of course Imcha Hi. I just said that, Lo Tegale, Imcha Lo Tegale. Ah, that is the point, says Abaya. It's only because she's your mother, your direct mother, not your grandmother. So that means that the Torah specifically excluded your grandmother from this whole discussion. So Mishum Imo Ata Mechayvo, but Iata Mechayvo, Mishum Emimo. So Enochinami. If you have a Beferish Apostle that tells you to ignore the Gzeira Shava, obviously, it actually tells you, okay, you can't apply to the Gzeira Shava to that particular issue. That's not my problem. Rava says, you don't need a pasuk. It's obvious that you cannot apply the Gzeira Shava that says your genes are the same as her genes to the case of a grandmother. Okay, and I'll explain to you why. Now, remember, we have an old Gavi principle, and it was a machlokas. And that machlokas was one of the beautiful basic ideas of how to utilize Gzeira Shava. Don mina umina, or don mina v'uki ba'atra. So that, the question was, when we learn out a new halacha from Gzeira Shava, do we hyper-literalize it, and we say, well, this is the case in the source din, and then we have to apply exactly the same rules in the derived din. That's called don mina umina. Whereas don mina v'uki ba'atra means take the source din, expand it as it would apply to the derived din, but follow the rules of the derived din contextually and don't change the rules to follow the din where you got it from. That is one of the most fundamental machlokasin about the utilization of a gzeira shav. Now, applying to that here, says Rava, what you asked is naive. You're asking that we should apply a gzera shava that says your genes are like her genes to make your grandmother asura to you. Okay, now let me explain to you why it's naive. Because I don't care what your approach is to gzera shava. I don't care whether it's bein l'man diomar don mino mina, or whether you hold like the other man diomar don mina v'uki ba'atra. It ain't going to work. Lo atya. There's no possible way to maintain a rational limud from this gezera shava of your genes to her genes. Let me go through it with you and explain. If you hold don mina umina, okay, so what would you have to say? You would have to say that what's your source din? Your source din is your wife's relatives, right? So just like her genes, you're saying, her grandmother is usher to you, so too your genes would be usher to you. So your grandmother would be usher to you. Okay, that would be the fundamental gzera shava. Now, let's apply the halacha of mina, don mina, umina. Let's take the rules that are in the initial din. What are the rules in the initial din? Well, the rules are that your wife's grandmother, all of those cases, we just had our Mishnah, they're all Bisrefa, right? And that would mean that your grandmother would have to be Srefa. But that makes no sense. Because if you hold that Srefa, like Rabbi Shimon, is more Chamur than Skila, so then there's a total irrationality here. Because how could you come out with this ridiculous thing? Because you're saying, first of all, Malahi, I could say, look, it's very clear that these two things don't follow. The fact that her grandmother is going to be an Isser of Srefa, that's because the mother is the issue of Srefa. But your mother is an Isser of Skila. So how does her mother's mother become the Isser of Srefa? That doesn't, first of all, doesn't follow, as we'll see in a minute, because it's irrational to say we're going to be more machmer on the grandmother than a mother. But besides that, before we even get to the question of the rationality of the emergent solution you're claiming comes out here, the thing doesn't make sense to learn one from the other. Can you learn a chiyuv of Srefa from a case, an instance, which is the mother of your wife, or the grandmother of your wife, in which she has the chiyuv of Srefa on her mother, and apply it to your grandmother, where your mother has a chiyuv of Skila, and say, well, therefore the grandmother should have a chiyuv of Srefa. Does that make sense? No. Not to mention the fact, but is it rational to say, va'od, your mother is a chiyuv of Skila, and your grandmother's more chomer, according to the man diomar of the Srefa is chomer. I mean, that itself makes no sense. And not only that, I could show you the od mahi lo chalakta bein ba bein ima la emima. So there should be no difference between her mother and her mother's mother. Both of them are Srefa. Then the principle, you're saying, we apply the principle of mina. Okay. So far, I've been taking it very simply. We're trying to apply it very simply. What is the actual chiyuv? It would have to be the same. So I'm showing you that doesn't make sense. But let's take the broader implication of mina. Mina would mean that we use the mother and grandmother of your wife as the model for your mother and grandmother. Problem is that for your wife, there's a single set of onshim for mother and grandmother. If we're going to apply mina, no matter what we do, we're going to end up with not a common theme. The mother, it says, beferish is besreifa, so is beskila, and we can't. That's avi ve'ima. So that was one of the niskalim. So there's no way that we could apply sreifa to your mother. So that would mean that we're going to end up with a non-matching set. But one of the mina's implications are that just like your wife has a matching set of mother grandmothers, so too, you would have to learn out from her that you have a matching set. But that's a contradiction, in Ayube. It's going to always be a contradiction. So if you're going to apply Skila, then it's not Mina. If you're going to apply Srefa, it's not Mina for another reason, because the set isn't the same. So you understand the sophistication of these arguments? They're just fabulous. So it's taking for granted your innate and intuitive understanding of words believe me, to explain to an American college student would take you 20 minutes probably. And to explain to a five-year-old who's been learning Mishnah for a while, it takes 10 seconds. But anyway, so it goes to show again, Torah Machim Aspesi. So if you're going to apply Mina, you're going to be left with a logical impossibility. If it is Mina, then it's not Mina. And if it's the other Mina, then it's not that Mina. So one way or the other, you cannot possibly apply Don Mina or Mina. That's according to Rabban Yomar holds Sreifa is Chamura. Now, if you hold according to Rabban Yomar, Skila is Chamura, so it's true, the first two points don't apply, because if Skila is Chamura, you can't ask the questions that I asked before about how it's irrational, and over here, your mother is one thing, and your grandma is going to be more. That's not a problem. But the last thing is still going to be a problem, namely that the nature of the set simply is not going to match, and therefore it's not going to be Mina. So if it is Mina, it's not Mina, and if it's not Mina, it is Mina. So, sorry. So that's not going to work, says Rava. That's why I say that as far as if you hold Don Mina or Mina, your question was naive. Now, let me explain to you why. I love this. I mean, this is like really, it's just amazing to just intuitively flip all of this over like Rava does. It's just fantastic. And let me show you why. If you hold Don Mina, V'uki ba'atra, which is the opposite approach, that you will always apply the rules of the derived halacha, you also are going to end up with a contradiction, and you cannot use that either. Let me explain to you why. So, l'man diomer don mina v'uki ba'atra. I'll go through the same points, okay? Then what would you be saying? This is the way it would work. You would say, just like by your wife, the mother of the mother is usser, so too by you, the mother of the mother is usser. Okay, that's the fundamental gzeirah shavah. Now, let's apply uki ba'atra. Let's apply the derived context to the mikor's din. So what would that mean? So then uki ba'atra would mean that there where you learnt it from, it's true that it was Sreifa, but over here, where you're applying it to, you have to apply the contextual dinim. The contextual dinim is that it's Beskila, because your mother is Beskila, so that Kida Ashkechan Be'imo, the same way we find that your mother is Beskila, the grandmother would be Beskila. The problem is, if you hold that Sreifa is more Chamur than Skila, so then I've got the following problems. Ikala Mifra. Malahi Shekinima Bisrefa. You can't learn out from her because the fact is that her mother would be Machayev, this man, Bisrefa. Mashenken, him, his mother would only be Machayev and Beskila. So maybe the grandmother is no longer as Choshev because, after all, the mother is not viewed as very Chomor. It's much more Chomor in the source, in her. That's number one. Furthermore, even if we would, we could say that the Uki Beatra would say, okay, who kehi? So let's say the basic idea is that give it the same dinim, compare him to her only in the sense of what the set looks like. So mahi lo chalaka bein bita la'imima, just like when it comes to her, you cannot make a difference between the cases of her daughter. Remember, we have mirror images, daughter, granddaughter, or woman and mother, grandmother. Those are mirror images from that first generations. So then we should also apply that. And we should say, if we're going to argue that we should take the same din and put it in its actual context, or the same way, what's the same din? The abstraction of the same din. There's no difference between the generations going up and the generations going down, right? So then we'd have to say the same thing would be true for him. There should be no difference between his granddaughter or his grandmother, right? But that's not true. That's impossible, because then that would lead to a complete contradiction, because you're not going to be able to say that there's going to be a bigger chumrah of your mother's mother than the mother, if you hold that Sreifa is more chomer. And even if you hold, according to the Man Yomer, Skila Chamura, then you have the same problem. Because if you hold Skila is Chamura, so then the last point is definitely a problem. Okay, everybody, have a great day. Mesirat Tovot. Kol Tov.